folks, I really don't know what's going on with the Trump administration. How poorly they're... But there's been a development in the case of Elijah Schaefer, in case you haven't been paying attention. Somebody suggested that if you see a ridiculously attractive woman with a very powerful man, it's not unlikely that they are a honeypot operation. And in response to that tweet, Elijah Schaefer posted a picture of Kash Patel and his girlfriend. He didn't say any words. He didn't actually make any insinuations. But he's been sued for that for $5 million, along with Sam Parker and Kyle Serafin. I don't know about Kyle Serafin, but Sam Parker never made the claim that she was an Israeli agent. And Elijah Schaefer never made that claim. He made the insinuation. I think it's pretty obvious what he was trying to insinuate, but that's not illegal. And it certainly wasn't explicit. He didn't claim to have knowledge that she was an Israeli agent of any sort. Which, again, defamation requires that you lie and that you know it's a lie and that you do it specifically to harm somebody. Which I don't even know how you could prove that, because if it's the FBI director, how could you make the case that it was for anything other than your love of country that you speculated? Like, again, defamation has to be like, oh, I hate this woman, so I'm going to lie about her to disadvantage her or something. But if you're genuinely concerned that the FBI might be infiltrated, what do you mean you can't speculate on that? So now the FBI SWAT team is protecting her, even when she's not with Kash Patel. By the fact that if anything, it's probably this lawsuit that made people angry at her. So the whole thing's ridiculous, but it gets worse. Elijah Schaefer reveals minutes ago, the FBI has now designated my personal security and operations manager of Rift TV as a national security threat. Informed that they will be detained by DHS upon reentry, less than 72 hours after he was doxxed and had to relocate due to lawfare connected to the FBI director. So, on November 13th, he said, my family's been criminally doxxed due to Alexis Wilkins' frivolous $5 million lawsuit. Basically, published where he lived and, names of his family and stuff. So he probably was already planning on going to El Salvador, but at this time he moved to he went to El Salvador. He says, the person now under FBI designated status is at Snowflake_news. We left the country together without incident last week and traveled to El Salvador monthly. I announced on social media that he was here with me less than 24 hours ago. Next morning, the FBI marked him SSSS as a threat. Yeah, probably not a coincidence. He's saying the FBI director's girlfriend sued me, allegedly using his legal resources for criticizing Israel. I'm also a huge critic of Kash Patel. Someone connected directly to Josh Hammer's investigation team accidentally leaked the lawsuit to me. Before FBI director Kash Patel and his country music star GF wanted me to find out about it. That's why they're publicly panicking. Support the fight, and he has a legal fund there. So, that is outrageous. That is absurd. Why is the FBI designating American journalists as potential terror risks because their boss criticizes or made a joke about the FBI director's girlfriend? What? Yeah, you got to fire Kash Patel, Trump. For the sake of the country, for the sake of the FBI, for the sake of your administration, for the sake of free speech in this country, for the sake of preserving what modicum of the MAGA coalition still remains, you got to fire Kash Patel. It's not an option at this point. It's a necessity. You got to fire Kash Patel. His failure is one thing. If he was just bad at his job, which he appears to be, that'd be one thing. But he's bad at his job, and he's abusing American journalists? He's bad at his job, and he's spending his time and money helping to sue Americans for criticizing his girlfriend? Yeah, he needs to go. He needs to go yesterday.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
You're listening.
For the last 10 plus years to unveil this information about Trump and Epstein. You really believe they let him run his campaign back in 2016? They let him beat Hillary? They let him actually assume the White House himself and stay there for those first 4 years? They impeached him, not for these allegations of him and Epstein, but for some other charges the average person can't even remember themselves. But they trotted out E. Jean Carroll. They trotted out Stormy Daniels. Those were the best plays that they had, right? And then they were able to actually seize power back for themselves in 2020. They had all the levers of power at their disposal, and they did not choose to unveil this information then. And then they let him run again. They had a failed assassination attempt. He actually won again, and he was reelected as president. And then he gets back to the White House, and now, over a year after he was reelected, and on the heels of the government shutdown that the Democrats caused themselves, now you think that they are going to unveil this earth-shattering new information that is going to finally get Trump. If you really believe that, and you probably also believe that men can be women and women can be men.
Great stuff. That's from Damani Felder. He is my guest today. Damani Felder on X at The Damani Felder, on TikTok at The Damani Felder as well. He's the founder of YouTube's The Wright Brothers, MAGA Warrior, Texas A&M alum, Christian conservative, wordsmith, dropping truth bombs on politics and culture. He can be seen on a number of very prominent podcast and outlets. Thanks so much for coming on today, Damani.
Hey, Harrison, thanks for having me. It's good to be here, brother.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I felt like I almost was obligated to invite you on because I retweet like every video you make. A lot of your videos are very much that style. They're short, they're sweet. You're usually out on a walk around Houston, which I love anyway. Maybe that's why I like them, because I like seeing you walk along the bayou. But you make really good short content, and I was like, can't just retweet this guy over and over and not invite him on to talk about some of this stuff. So how did you get involved in what you're doing now and become political and decide this was the path you wanted to choose?
Well, and there's so many individuals who went before me and kind of paved the way. But I remember back almost actually over a decade now, was when I first started seeing a lot of the big voices start to come out in support of Trump. We're talking back 2015. It feels like it was just yesterday, but in the political scale, it feels like we've lived several lifetimes.
Right.
So seeing individuals lend their voices to the fray, I thought, if I at least have these skills to talk, I might as well go ahead and begin myself, not knowing what I'm doing. What I do now is far and away removed from what I was doing when I first started. I had no idea how to even make a video. But I feel that it is incumbent upon us and of paramount importance that we actually use our voices for good. And, I just go around Houston, Texas, where I live now, trying to show off that, Houston, it might not be, as beautiful as Colorado, but we have some pretty beautiful scenery here too, but also deliver a message, hopefully in a way that's easy to understand and easy to digest and hopefully easy to share as well. So much of what we're seeing take place on the political stage right now does not pass the Snell test, and doubly so if you have any degree of common sense whatsoever. So the hope is that the messages I'm able to deliver and craft are able to reach individuals who still have some ability to have some cognition, and hopefully they'll be able to arrive at those conclusions that they should, because this is not rocket science. We're getting to a point now in American politics where what you see in front of you honestly does not really require too much digging beyond the most simple answer usually being the most correct one. So hopefully delivering messages like mine and many others will hopefully wake more individuals up to what is truly going on in the country, and hopefully set them on a path towards self-exploration. Because make no mistake, we're at a point now where we're so polarized, where individuals think, oh, everything must be Republicans bad or Democrats bad. And while there is some nuance involved in that, I think it's also important for us to recognize that what you see is what you get most of the time with these politicians.
Yeah.
And you just have to use a little bit of common sense, and it will actually point you in the right direction every single time.
Isn't that the frustrating part, though? Is it like this isn't complicated? This stuff is not hard. Again, that's why I like your videos, because they're short, they're nicely packaged, and I do think they're convincing. And it's like frustrating that we even have to explain some of this stuff. It seems so absurdly obvious. Why do you think it is that so many people are so far off the mark? And are you having success? Like, do people tell you, like, oh, you know, your videos opened up my eyes? Because I have to keep reminding myself that it is possible. And partly it's bragging, but partly it's a reminder. You know, I like posting things where I had a friend tell me the other day, he said, you know, my brother and his wife had voted Democrat their whole lives. They started watching your videos and now they consider themselves far right. And I'm like, yes, it's still possible that people can be woken up from their stupor. But what do you think it takes to break through? And why do you think it's so hard for us to make these arguments when they seem so imminently obvious to us?
Well, you know, Harrison, I'll tell you, it seems to be a very disquieting commitment to ignorance. We're talking to individuals now, and we are having to argue information that should be just common sense.
Right.
The fact that we have to sit there and explain to an individual that there are inherent differences between men and women, so much so that I believe it was the Olympic Committee recently came out and said, okay, yeah, we're not going to allow individuals who are transgender or who are born a different sex to compete or different gender to compete with other individuals because it gives them an unfair advantage. It's like, wow, you really had to sit there and think about that for more than 5 seconds to understand how ridiculous it is. But the fact of the matter is also, it's a pride issue. Because there are individuals who are so committed to that lie, once you accept one lie, if you're on the left side of the aisle, you have to accept the next. And it becomes a race to the bottom of absurdity. So even if the left got all of their entire wish list, you know what happened next is they would begin to cannibalize themselves, trying to prove who is the most woke, who is the most anti-racist, who is the most anti this or that. So it goes to show how their whole ideology ultimately is self-defeating and cannibalizing at its core. But the fact of the matter is, if you're able to actually present information to someone in a manner where they don't necessarily turn you off right away, there is still an opportunity to reach those people. But the more they ascribe to a certain hive mind, the more difficult that becomes. And I will say this as well, on the right side of the aisle as well, all too often, the minute that you ask a question, oh, you are roundly panned as X, Y, and Z, where we are the individuals who pride ourselves on being able to think critically, but come to our own conclusions and not suffer instant backlash that is unfounded. Now, there are some individuals on the right side of the aisle who I would argue are facing criticism and scrutiny, and I would argue that is well-deserved in some cases. But the hive-minded mentality, the lack of individualism, the lack of one's ability to use critical thinking skills to get where they need to be, honestly, it can be blamed for a lot of the issues that we have on the political forum today.
Yeah, I agree. And let's get into that, the so-called MAGA civil war. And it's so frustrating because, you know, we need a Trump to win. We need a Trump to be successful because we recognize how dangerous it will be if the Democrats get back in office. I mean, they are already talking about, like, the list they're making for people that they'll claim are domestic terrorists. Like, this is sort of a life or death situation for us. So I don't want to throw Trump under the bus. I don't think that's a viable path into the future. We need, like, this is the horse we're on. We need to ride it to the end of the race, and we need victory, or else God only knows what comes next. But at the same time, I see the choices that the Trump administration is making, and it's just baffling. It's inexplicable. It makes me angry a lot of the times. And yet, it's like, how do you solve the problem but not at the same time contribute to it? Like, I want to criticize the people that are dividing us, but then that feels like I'm dividing us farther. So, like, what is your take on the current division in the MAGA right? How do we get over it, and most importantly?
Well, that's a great question. And honestly, I started to call this out in a couple of videos I made even years and years ago when I saw some of the disparate way that even individuals who are associated with InfoWars got treated at places like CPAC. And the fact of the matter is, we've kind of built this unfortunate hedge around our movement in many cases where, for the past probably better part of a decade, anyone who criticized anyone who was quote unquote MAGA adjacent, particularly if you're on the right yourself, you were automatically called a liberal or you are a this or a that. So it almost allowed certain individuals who maybe had ulterior motives to possibly seep into the movement in many ways, shapes, and forms. And some of them were outed. I think particularly there was one politician, I believe it was Alex Stovall, a couple years ago. And he was exposed essentially for more or less grifting off of the movement. But because we've insulated ourselves to a certain degree to say, oh, well, you can't criticize anything, then that in itself is very injurious, because individuals up to and including Trump should be willing to and able to handle that criticism, but then also pivot from it. The most encouraging things that I see is when individuals will actually take that criticism and they will actually respond to it, react to it, and make better choices moving forward. And it is frustrating beyond belief, to your point, when you see some decisions that Trump makes, and it's okay for us to acknowledge that, but also not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because what's the alternative? Are individuals now saying, oh, well, I'm going to go and burn my MAGA hat publicly and post a video? First of all, the only reason you do that is because you want some quick, easy attention on social media. It's not for any other reason. But then you see people who begin to react that way. So you begin to question and ask yourself, okay, well, who is for, who is against? There's this MAGA civil war. And ultimately what's happening on the right side of the aisle right now is in a little bit of identity crisis, because we're coming up closely to the midterms. And after the midterms, that's truly will pave the way for the future of the movement, because we all know that in the future we want to win 2028 and we want to win 2032. So a lot of even the infighting, people could argue on the right side of the aisle, has to do with who is going to emerge as the preeminent source of truth or investigative journalism or whatnot on the right side of the aisle. And you'll see plenty of large figures choose a side or say you have to pick this side or that side. And if anything I can tell people is this, is it, regardless of, you know, which influencer is your favorite, we've got to stop playing this weird, silly game where it's like, oh, well, I disagree with one thing that this one influencer says, therefore they are no longer credible whatsoever. Right. It's important to hold them accountable, but also to realize that there are going to be things that people say that you agree with or don't agree with, in your ability to handle that as a mature adult is going to be ultimately what does set you apart from those on the left side of the aisle who truly do have that hive mind and that groupthink mentality.
Yeah, it's sort of our you know, our greatest strength is also our greatest weakness. We are open to all these varying views, but then that causes conflict. And you know, I was talking the other day about, like, if we meet somebody that disagrees with us 90% but agrees with us 10%, we're like, yes, 10%, we can build on that. You're on my team technically in this position, so, you know, good, we could use you. Whereas on the left, it seems like anybody that's not 100% with them gets thrown under the bus. So it's something that we pride ourselves in, but obviously it's causing all of this conflict and chaos. And you know, the people, you know, burning their MAGA hats or whatever, I think that's a little extreme. Again, I think it's like, this is our guy. We need to fight for him. At the same time, do you give any credence to the feeling of betrayal that people are expressing? Because it does feel like we, the American people, have suffered. And, you know, personally, people lose friends or family members, don't talk to them anymore because of their support for Donald Trump. And then they see we're 10 months into the second administration and, like, nobody's in handcuffs. The border's been shut, yes, but the deportations I don't think are nearly as high as they need to be. So I think people are really reaching like a crisis moment where they're like kind of panicking and going, we need something intense now, and Trump is not delivering it. So, I mean, what's your take on that? Like, what should Trump do? In my opinion, he just needs to really do the things we elected him for, stop being distracted by the foreign policy stuff, which can be okay, but you know, people want results and we're not getting them. The H-1B thing. I mean, what can Trump do at this point to mitigate some of the feeling of betrayal that his supporters have expressed?
Yeah, that's a good question. I do think you did mention it kind of yourself to a certain degree, as, you know, we are 10 months in, and that almost sounds trite and overplayed to say at this point in time, because it feels as if that is more than enough time for us to start seeing some demonstrable results. And the fact of the matter is that the fewer results that you see, the more questions you're going to have, the more that sense of betrayal is going to truly brew and ultimately boil over in many cases. What Trump needs to do, I would argue, is really lend his ear to the individuals who helped him get to where he is and who truly do have good intentions. And the beautiful thing is, at this point in time, he knows who those people are, more or less. People have proven themselves to be for him or against him, to be a loyal or disloyal at this point. So the fact of the matter is there is a very short list, I would argue, that individuals truly had and the individuals still do have as it relates to what they want to see Trump accomplish. Right. We want to see the size and scope of government shrink because we all know it is bloated. We want to make sure that we are able to keep more of our money. I would argue it's almost shifting more towards a libertarian front, mm-hmm. a classical libertarian front, I would say. We obviously do want to see the border closed and we are grateful for those efforts. We also want to see individuals who we know are involved in the most heinous atrocities brought to justice, prosecuted, and made an example of. And every day that passes that we do not see that makes us start to feel as if that justice may truly never be coming, particularly when we see instances like Virginia Roberts Dupre, who the official story is that she committed suicide. That's a dubious story on its own face. And when you stack that up with all the other individuals who are embroiled in this Epstein controversy, time will tell if there's not some other play that we're not fully privy to yet. But the more this time stretches on, the more individuals do feel as if we are losing hope. I want to caution individuals out there away from completely throwing their support away from Trump, but also being willing to continue to be loud enough to make sure he realizes that there is still more work that needs to be done, because ultimately that is the only way that we will ultimately sometimes get things done, is by being that squeaky wheel and demanding that oil.
It seems to work. I mean, the meme now is like always chimp out, right? Like if you're mad, let people know, get angry, because the Trump administration does seem to respond when their base is upset. They don't always respond. You know, it's like they hear us, they want to like mitigate or sort of calm our objections, but they don't do what we want them to do. So it is just frustrating. And again, I really do worry about what happens if we lose the midterms next year. I mean, we're 1 year away from potentially, you know, November 17th, 2026, they're going to be launching impeachment and really, you know, throwing a stick in the spokes of Trump's administration. So it is very urgent. But I know you cover a lot of cultural stuff as well. We have the video where you're talking about Michelle Obama. We don't have too much time with you. Can you tell us what were you covering with Michelle Obama? What do you make of her media appearances these days, where she's saying some of the weirdest stuff I've ever heard? I guess she's trying to sell a book or something. Why is she even in the media these days? What was your take on Michelle Obama's recent media outings?
God only knows. Maybe she's trying to distract away from the fact that her husband's presidential library bears a striking resemblance to an industrial-sized trash can. Now, that's a coincidence that I'm sure is not a coincidence, but I digress. So Michelle Obama is out here now. After all that the country has truly done for this family, the fact that they consistently and emphatically thumb their nose at the individuals who even gave them what they have today really goes to show how ungrateful they are, and truly goes to show that they are the classic Marxists that many individuals recognized them for even years and years ago. Yeah. So she's going to talk about how certain beauty standards or hairstyles are the reason that Black women can't get ahead or can't swim. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, woman, do you hear yourself talking? One of the things your husband runs and talks about all the time is, you know, the climate change, global warming, and he's sitting up there with a beautiful house. I believe it's in Martha's Vineyard. And then no one wants to talk about the Tafari Campbell, their former White House chef, who suspiciously drowned in the water that was not tall enough or not deep enough for him to drown in, when a suspicious paddleboarding accident. But she wants to sit up here now and pretend that she is so oppressed. This is what Democrats do, by the way. And I see you're showing the infamous the flop scene around the world.
No comment.
On the screen there. But Michelle goes out of her way to continue to pretend as if she is owed something, or, oh, the world is such a terrible, inhospitable place for her and her family, when she fails to even acknowledge that the only reason that they got elected in the first place was because a whole lot of people of all different stripes and backgrounds chose to put their faith and trust in an eloquent, silver-tongued speaker, yeah, who ultimately stabbed them in the back and continues to do so to this day. And even now, Michelle's husband's running around. I could go somewhere else. I'm not going to. Barack is going around, you know, talking about how, oh, my legacy is being tarnished. Well, yeah. If we're going to talk about, you know, Obamacare and how affordable that did not turn out to be, just another example of how, to the extent that they are able, the Democrats will always find a way to do the exact opposite of what they claim they're doing for you, but somehow still claim that you are the reason for the world's ills in the future. It's tiresome. It's annoying. And particularly as someone who does have some extra melanin in his skin, I'm so sick and tired of anyone, myself included, who goes after Michelle or Barack Obama. You know what the biggest comeback is from, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Democrats? You are attacking the first black female first lady. How could you betray your own people when these are not my people? But the fact that they effectively are now using race as a shield against any sort of legitimate criticism honestly makes me see red and drives me crazy. I know it drives you crazy as well.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And of course, I've been open about it. I was a fool as a young and you know, starry-eyed 18-year-old. I also voted for Obama, but it was in very quick order that I was like, oh, he was lying to me. I thought I was voting for somebody who was going to stop the wars and genuinely thought, like, this is great. This will be the last act of, you know, American government where we'll be over racism from now on. Won't this be great? I'm so excited to have a black president. We can all just put this nasty period of our lives behind us. And then they just bring it back with a vengeance. And to this day, she's still dividing the country. She's still pushing that you know, racist angle. And it's just like it really is disgusting. And I guess it just works for her personal brand, but that sort of shows it, doesn't it? They're willing to try to build themselves up by sacrificing unity and you know, happiness across the country. That's less important to them than looking like they're the ones on top. It's gross and it's self-serving, and I don't think it's effective though. I don't think people like the Obamas very much anymore. Do you?
Most people don't. It's kind of sad, really. You know, they've tried to branch out after their time as president was over, or their presidential term was over. You know, they've had failed exploits such as their podcast that I believe they struggled to get even barely decent viewership or listenership on. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I believe they had a TV show of some sort.
Well, they were like, so producers for Netflix. They came out with a bunch of Netflix productions.
Yep. But they get pulled out of mothballs every so often to go stump for the next person. I mean, they're literally over here talking about how difficult, Michelle is talking about how difficult it is to be a black woman. I use that word, you know, with a certain degree of skepticism sometimes myself, but I digress. But then they're going to go and campaign, was it in Virginia, I believe it was, mm-hmm. where Winsome Earl Sears was running. So the whole script over the past several years was, you know, you need to support this black woman being Kamala Harris. Another issue for another day. But then they're going to sit there and say, okay, now we want you to vote for Abigail Spanberger and not the black woman here because the black woman is part of the wrong political party.
Right.
The fact that they get any notoriety or attention whatsoever anymore honestly makes my head spin. But I think what is a silver lining is that it indicates how desperate the left is going to continue to become, because if you have to lean on Barack Obama, who has been out of office now for almost a decade himself, if you have to lean on him to pull individuals out, to pull out the vote or to go out and vote, as it were, then you are not as popular as you think you are. And essentially, he's being used as a macabre mascot for the left, and they are just going to hide behind him and use him as some sort of sock puppet to try to get the least educated among us to go out and pull the lever based on the virtue of immutable characteristics. Yep. And that should be something that he, of all people, was able to get the country away from, and he made it 10 times worse.
Yeah, it's absolutely shameful. It's just pathetic, and it shows how thin their bench is, right? It's like Obama is one of the only Democrats left that can still appeal to even a majority of their people. Everybody else hates everybody else on the left. Meanwhile, on the right, we've got like a backbench, like 14 people long for who could be next president, from Ron DeSantis to J.D. Vance to Marco Rubio. Who do you like in 2028 here? We're about to go out, but just last prediction. Who do you like in 2028 as president? Are you thinking about that yet?
I'm not even going to say that yet, because I'm a firm believer in focusing on what's right in front of us. And I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, if you will, before they come home to roost. So I will continue to be as circumspect as possible. But my decision will come as we get closer to that election. And I look forward to seeing who we do run to continue the work that's been started by Trump and his administration.
It's a good move. Keep your powder dry. That's Damani Felder on X, at The Damani Felder on TikTok as well. The Damani Felder. It's great shareable stuff, folks. Go check him out. Share his videos. They'll actually break through to people. I really believe that, and that's why I share them so much. Damani, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Harrison. Appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
But when I tell you I need your prayers and your support and your word of mouth, I need it. And I don't want to go through long updates here, but they put in a month ago the state receiver. We got kicked out of the federal bankruptcy court. They're clear to come grab it. He's been in here every week. doesn't really even talk. They say they're going to try to have a public auction, but we know the plaintiffs, the Democrats, don't want that. They don't want somebody to buy it that would keep this operation on air. So I don't really have any faith in that. We'll see what happens. And he isn't even talking to my lawyers and people, even though he's been up here in the last few weeks. So I don't know if they're going to come today and shut us down or next week or they're going to have an auction. I don't know. But that's the sword of Damocles hanging over this place. So there's an urgency there. We've survived so many times and all the other tricks. People say, oh, you'll survive this time. Well, maybe God comes through. Maybe that's God's plan. Fine. I just give it all to God. I'm going to keep broadcasting. And then the minute we get taken down, the Alex Jones Network fires up. The satellites, the stations, all of it. Bigger studios getting built. A lot of stuff happening. But it takes money to do this. And I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. The bad guys don't have any claim on that. It's owned by Bigley. They fund InfoWars now as the main sponsor, and they fund the Alex Jones Network. I need your support. And the products are incredible. We only bring you the best supplements that will change your life. Highest quality, highest rated, 2,000 milligram per scoop. Bovine colostrum, and we got the best. Methylene Blue, incredible, so good for you. 99% of people have incredible effects. It's literally over 99%. And it's energy with no letdown. It cleans out your cells. It's incredible. All these studies about it. Versing Alzheimer's and the callers call in. I had glaucoma and it went away. And I'm not making any of those claims. Just type in the incredible, ask ChatGPT or Grok about Methylene Blue. Get it now. Take the challenge. But take only like a quarter dropper when you first get it. Because some people, like one of the crew members, thought he'd taken a hit of acid, basically. He was going crazy. He's like, God, I'm hiring a guy. What the hell? Oh, he's like a whole dropper. And the first time you take it, when it really hits you. So, and if you're on serotonin reuptake inhibitors and stuff, you can't take it. It'll make you literally jump off a cliff. I mean, that's how strong it is, folks. So talk to your doctor. Look at the drugs you're on. Talk to him about it. Because this is not a freaking game, okay? I mean, and all these things work in synergy together. So here's the current big sale. CMOS gummies, a fan favorite. 93 vitamins and minerals and trace minerals and elements that work together synergistically. Buy one, get one free. Ends tonight. We've got yesterday's sheets as is tomorrow. Buy any bottle of CMOS gummies and get another bottle free. Our CMOS is incredible. Get yours at thealexjonesstore.com. And we need the funds. It's always like the widow's mite, where we just have enough. And I can bring on extra sponsors and stuff, but I know when I direct sell you stuff and I know it's quality, I know you're going to love it. And all I got to do is get you off the fence and take your step into a wider world. God's watching. Support the broadcast, word of mouth, prayer, and financially if you can. Plus, these are products you really need. Everybody's got to get that. If you just do one thing and you've been on the fence, never supported this, because less than 1% ever buy anything of our millions of listeners. That's fine. Okay. 1% of you to go, man, this guy's info's dead on. Let me get a bottle of this. What are you out? You supported a great broadcast. TheAlexJonesStore.com and become a VIP. If you're going to get anything, you should be a VIP. It's $30 a month, and instantly you're given $40 of credit. So you just go in when you're buying a couple products at checkout. You go, oh, I'm going to be a VIP. Bloop. Puts $30 on your tab. And then as soon as you run the transaction, you notice $40 goes off your tab. See? And then you get special deals, special offers on everything. Sometimes special products just for you. And you can win free vehicle. All of it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a VIP.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, fans.video. Share the link. Support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Remember, you're getting a free bottle of CMOS gummies with the purchase of a bottle of CMOS gummies. Buy one, get one free today. Ends tomorrow at midnight. Don't waste your time. Go get the CMOS gummies at TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. Let them know who sent you. They really are powerful. They have naturally occurring iodine as well as a number of other amazing vitamins and minerals. And they taste great. I, every day, eat the Ultimate CMOS gummies and the Shilajit gummies. That's what keeps me so youthful. youthful and happy. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We still have a lot to talk about in this final segment here, and I think I want to take a moment to talk about, well, let's see. I guess we've been talking a lot about Epstein. I don't really want to talk too much more about him, but we do have some breaking news here. Hakeem Jeffries has decided he's not actually so keen on releasing the Epstein files anymore. Perhaps that had something to do with the fact that some of the recent releases show that it was a Democrat representative who was being fed talking points by Jeffrey Epstein live during a hearing where she is directly being instructed by him on what to ask. Again, if you've ever wanted to see a puppet, political puppet in action, you've never had a more blatant example than what we showed you earlier. Now, the Democrats, despite deciding all of a sudden earlier this year that Jeffrey Epstein was their pet project, they're not actually so excited anymore. Here's Hakeem Jeffries moments ago.
Believe the truth.
Why should Americans trust you and House Democrats on the Jeffrey Epstein files when one of your own, Congresswoman Plaskett, was found to be texting with Jeffrey Epstein during a hearing, getting information from him, using that in her questioning during a congressional hearing, and at one point he tells her, good job.
This is a bipartisan effort to make sure that, consistent with what the survivors have requested, that there's full and complete transparency, and every single predator who may be in those Justice Department files doesn't escape accountability.
Thanks. Yeah. A little bit of nothing from Hakeem Jeffries. We'll see. We'll see how it all goes. I guess while we're on the topic, we should continue talking about Israel's pernicious influence in our country and around the world. There's some interesting developments in the fight for free speech, or against free speech in the case of the Zionist lobbies. There was an event held over the weekend called the World Jewish Congress. I guess it was last week. The World Jewish Congress, which is exactly what it sounds like. Something that we're told doesn't exist. Organized Jewry. And I made the joke last week when there's the Republican Jewish Coalition meeting, summit, whatever they call it. I said, it seems like one of these happens like at least once a week. Seems like at least once a week there's some new gathering of elite, high-level Jewish Americans collaborating and scheming together. And this is an inexhaustive list, but I took a look. On October 23rd, there was the Jewish National Fund Global Conference for Israel. On November 2nd, there was the Republican Jewish Coalition Summit. On November 9th, there was the Zionist Organization of America Gala. On November 10th, there was the World Jewish Congress in New York. On the 12th, there was the International Conference of Chabad Emissaries. And actually, we have a video of that one. We can go to clip number 10 here. This is thousands of rabbis from over 100 countries gathering for the International Chabad Lubavitch Conference. We can go to that video, clip number 10. You see the thousands of rabbis there spreading the love. Then on the 16th of November, yesterday, you had the Jewish Leadership Conference. Also on the 16th of November, the Jewish Federation of North America General Assembly. And coming up is the November 23rd Jewish Writers Conference. And I was like, this is too much. This is too much. It's too organized for me. It really seems, tell me if I'm misinterpreting it here, it really seems like the elite Jews get together to, you know, align their efforts and collaborate every couple of weeks, like kind of more than our Congress meets. And it's always sort of bipartisan. You know, most of the time, it's sort of bipartisan. And then there's individual ones for Republican Congress and Democratic Congress. And it just sort of goes on and on. And, you know, what's being discussed at these confabs are almost exclusively bad for America. It's almost exclusively bad for America. Here is the president of the World Jewish Congress, calling for new censorship laws, even in American schools. Here's the list. Very inexhaustive. This is literally just me doing 10 minutes of research. But between, you know, October and November 23rd, you've like 10 different ones. And it's not like these are, you know, small-time operations. These have, like, you know, President Trump giving speeches at them. The one that is occurring right now, I guess. I think it's the Jewish Leadership Conference. It's occurring right now. It's like Ben Shapiro and Barry Weiss, who just took over CBS News with Larry Ellison. Like, these are powerful people. We're coming together to progress their own ethnic interests, often in opposition to everybody else. Here's the president of the World Jewish Congress describing how they're going to censor everybody who's talking about how they control the government. Let's watch.
But Jewish schools are not enough. The entire education system in this country, from K through 12 and colleges, must be reformed. Laws must be passed that will focus on three things: no racism, no anti-Semitism, and no anti-Western civilization should be taught here. I need to remind you that anti-Semitism is not new. Even here in the United States, it's just that we haven't seen it in three generations. But in the 1930s, there was a strong, vocal, and even pro-Nazi movement that captured the public attention with famous names like Charles Lindbergh and Father Conklin, the radio priest with millions of listeners who attacked us every single day. Father Conklin was the Tucker Carlson of the 1930s, and radio was the TikTok and YouTube of the era. Henry Ford, the industrialist and multimillionaire, was another anti-Semite. Even President Roosevelt, who was seen as an ally of the Jewish people, closed Americans' doors to Jews in Europe, who were desperate to find a country, any country, that would take them in. Today, we see a similar pattern playing right in front of our eyes. Big names with millions of followers are using the same old lies that Jews control the government, the media, our nation's foreign policies. The same lies our parents and grandparents heard, only now it's been adopted by young people who've been indoctrinated in this. We must retake our schools. It's only a question of money, laws. We lost one generation that's been brainwashed.
So we have to go for the kids. So basically anybody of conscious age now, it's a lost cause. We've got to go for the kids that don't know any better yet. We have to make laws to make it illegal to say that we do things like create laws to silence people who are talking about us. Yeah, this is unbearable. We will not bear it. Who the hell are you, you old crypt keeper skeletal psychopath? Who the hell do you think you are? Really, it's the temerity of the thing. It's the demanding nature. We're just not going to stand for it. It's not okay. And again, this callback to like Charles Lindbergh in the 20s. You know, I'll play another video in just a second, but it's all in the same motion. And it's what I was talking about earlier. It's this idea that, like, they have to believe that opposition to them is either ingrained, you know, European DNA that is just by nature anti-Semitic. Therefore, that explains it. Nothing you can do to stop it. It's natural. It's naturally occurring. You might as well, you know, try to cure a dog of rabies by patting it on the head. There's no point. It's infected. Just deal with it, right? So either it's got to be just naturally occurring, or it's got to be the consequence of, like, brainwashing, as if there's any group of people other than them that controls the messaging on social media and the radio and television and books. That's why they're having to demonize Qatar so much, because it doesn't make any sense without somebody out there doing this, without somebody paying for the brainwashing to happen. It doesn't even make sense. That's why they go with Qatar. It's all nonsense, bullcrap. It's very simple. Very simple. You're not censoring us. You're not silencing us. And the more innocent people you throw in prison, the more outrage you create. It's really not that complicated. And we go to another example of this. I don't know how long I'm going to let this fool talk, but clip number 24, same type of thing. And in a way, it's dehumanizing, is what it is. When you have people with perfectly valid, well-reasoned, factual objection to what you're doing, and you simply dismiss them by saying they're bots, they're being controlled, they're being tricked, it's dehumanizing. It robs you of your free will, your willpower, the fact that you can choose to do what you want. You're not a human being making well-reasoned choices. You're just like a robot or an animal, a dog or a child who just believes what you're told because you're stupid and can't think for yourself. But that's not true. But really what we're doing is just objecting to reality. We're objecting to what's actually happening. We don't like it's happening, so we object to it. You can try to pathologize that all you want, but it doesn't solve the problem of the thing that we're objecting to. Here's the same phenomenon in a different manifestation. Clip I just mentioned here. Clip 24.
Russia is at war with America. Need proof?
The current split in the Republican Party between the Make America Great Again people and America Firsters, who are on the side of racists and anti-Semites like Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, is being manufactured by Russia.
Russia isn't even being subtle about it anymore because they found something that works. It doesn't matter what political party you're in. This is not a Republican issue. This is an America issue. Russia is forcing us to fight amongst ourselves while they run rampant in the world. Information warfare is a weapons effector.
Videos like this are weapon systems.
So how do we fight this? Well, it's actually threefold. Number one, we need to hold social media companies responsible for allowing weapon systems like this to spread. When it comes to things like materials that exploit children, we tell social media companies that they have to police that. But yet, when it comes to weapon systems that are designed by Russia and China to make Americans hurt each other, we go, free speech. No, we need to tell social media companies to start policing this kind of generated content. Number two, we need to consider striking the manufacturers and distributors of this content. That might mean kinetically, or that might mean with cyber effects. If the adversary was launching a cyber attack on our banks, would it be okay to drop a bomb on their data center? Probably would be. So why is this any different? So third, we need to consider kinetically or using cyber effects.
Let me just answer that last question he asked there. Why is it any different? Because the people you're suggesting move kinetically against are American citizens expressing their genuinely held opinions and beliefs. You absolute psychopath. So, just to be perfectly clear, he's calling for censorship, and he's calling for physical attacks against people like Ella Malding, who was in that video. She's going to be a guest on the show later this week. Ella Malding took off her Make America Great Again hat, put on an America First hat. Let me explain to you exactly what happened here. Okay, yeah, we're all idiots. I wrote it down. We're all being, quote, forced by Russia to fight each other. We don't think for ourselves. We don't have our own mindset. We all just stare into the spinning spiral, and Russia brainwashes us to not be pro Trump. I mean, this is retarded. This is retarded, y'all. I don't know what else to tell you. He wants to not just censor, but move kinetically against, bomb people making this content. So let me explain exactly what happened. Ella Malding is a Nick Fuentes fan, has been for a while. She's a content creator. She's made a lot of content. It's pretty good stuff. She made a video where she took off a Make America Great Again hat and put on an America First hat. Russia, well, it used to be called Russia Today, RT, a Russian news outlet, covered this. They covered it. They said there's a civil war going on in MAGA. People are abandoning MAGA because MAGA is not America First. They're saying we want to be America First. I stand with MGT. I stand with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I stand with Tucker Carlson. I stand with Nick Fuentes. So because a Russian media outlet, RT, covered this story, this dumbass with a cigar, I don't even know who this guy is, says Russia is manufacturing this with their weapon systems, their information weapon systems, to force us to fight each other, and the people involved in it should be moved kinetically against. I think whoever this person is should be deported because he's clearly not an American. A Russian media outlet reporting on people being dissatisfied with Trump is not a psychological operation. It's literally their job. They're a news outlet and they're reporting on a very real phenomenon on the right wing. Now, Russia didn't make Trump lie about the Epstein files for the last 10 months. Russia didn't make Trump bomb Iran. Russia isn't the one allowing all of Trump's enemies and the tyrants that abused their power over the last 10 years get away with it and be unindicted. None of those things were Russia's fault, but they're all things that have caused previous Trump supporters to decide that he's not the right guy. So they want to take your genuine reaction to betrayal and say, actually, you're just a mindless animal that's being tricked into doing this by Russia. Just like Bill Burr thinks that his fans who criticize him for taking blood money from the Saudis, they're just bots also. And the young people rioting at the Mexican palace, they're just bots. They're just controlled by bots. This is absurd. Now, if you want to talk about a foreign country that actually is massively interfering in American elections, that is actually running psychological operations, that has a well-publicized and ever-increasing track record of spending hundreds of millions of dollars to take over media outlets, to take over social media companies, and to push their divisive messaging, that's Israel, obviously, not Russia. Seems like, if anything, Russia's just telling the truth about the Israeli weapon system that's been deployed against the American people. So again, what do you think the outcome is going to be of all of this? Dave Portnoy is still giving interviews daily about the fact somebody said F the Jews at him and threw coins near him. Meanwhile, I haven't seen any interviews of the parents of the 6-year-old girl that was run over and killed by an illegal immigrant in Idaho. But hey, that's just a child being murdered. That's doesn't nearly rise to the level of outrage that Dave Portnoy getting accurately called a jackass gets. Again, I said it last time, I'll say it again. Dave Portnoy, it has this weird solipsism. He has this weird narcissism where, like, he thinks things that happen to him are things that happen to all Jews, and he's like, I get called anti-Semitic names every day. It's like, that's because you're an intolerable person who has a lot of enemies, and then you made everybody perfectly aware of your greatest vulnerability, which is that you freak out like a baby when people say F the Jews. So that's what people do. You beady-eyed child. And it's a bit infuriating, I have to say, to know that there are multiple people right now in prison because they dared to insult Laura Loomer. Okay? This literally happened. Let me see if I can find the actual thing here. Now, first of all, Laura Loomer's in a fight with Tucker Carlson's brother, I guess. Tucker Carlson's brother's named Buckley. Laura Loomer says, Buckley Carlson says, I look like a rat. Totally normal behavior. Sounds familiar. Eventually, you have to ask yourself why the Carlsons are so hell-bent on pushing lies against a person who worked to uncover people embedded in the administration or are working to undermine Trump's agenda. Because you are also acting like an intolerable scumbag. Why do you think? Like, do you really think you should be allowed to try to destroy Tucker Carlson? To endlessly rail against Tucker Carlson and claim that he is paid by Qatar, et cetera, et cetera? Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was his son. I guess he also has a brother named Buckley or something. So why does he and his family keep pushing the lie that I'm not America first and that I'm a rat? Well, because you are overtly dedicated to the state of Israel to a really pathological degree. Because they don't like you personally, as an individual. At some point, it has to be asked if Tucker Carlson is trying to incite violence against me. I personally think he is. It's clear as day what Tucker Carlson's issue with me, a lifelong Trump supporter who has always promoted America first. I'm a rat to them. Juden rat. He named his son after his brother. That makes sense. His dad's name is Richard Wagner Carlson. Gate might be on something, Laura. All right, Loomer. I changed my mind. You might be on something. No, I'm kidding. Now, meanwhile, a man named Nicholas Ray has been arrested and accused of making anti-Semitic threats against Laura Loomer and other conservative activists living in Florida. You know, we've covered this, you know, ad nauseum, but I just want you to be aware. We are entering into an America where white people will be thrown into prison, possibly for the rest of their lives, for defending themselves against repeated attacks. There's a man who is being charged with manslaughter because he killed a group. I'm not even sure how many of them he killed, but there were six black teenagers broke into his garage over and over and over again. Finally, one time he catches them, confronts them. They attack him. He shoots in self-defense in his own home. He's now charges for manslaughter for that. I don't know how many times we at InfoWars have been swatted or doxed or threatened outright. I get threats every single day. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to do anything about it. We can have meetings with the FBI. Still nothing comes of it. And yet, if you dare to insult a Jewish person, you will be arrested. And we've seen no less than three examples of this in the last 2 weeks. Nicholas Ray was arrested. The guy in Texas, Engler, whatever, had his door knocked on by people. Oh, we're concerned about what you're saying online. And you had another guy in Florida. It just happens over and over and over again. So is that what's happening? Is that they're elevating Jews to a, you know, higher class, higher caste than the rest of us Americans? Where any insult is perceived as an existential threat, and you'll be charged and thrown in prison for it? Because, let me say again, we're not going to stand for this. I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch. Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Body's turmeric supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's turmeric supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air in the fight and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.